welcome back. I'm your host, Alyssa, and this is Walking in the Sun and God. And to be honest, I don't even have a guest here today. She's almost a co-host at this point, and that is my mama. You have been on three episodes now?
Three.
So is this number four or is this number three?
This is number three.
This is number three. Okay. Like I said, you're basically a co-host at this point.
I like it.
So what we've got for you today is... what is true worship? And we're going to start off by listening to about a 4-minute video from Got Questions, and all credit to Got Questions for this video. I actually took notes earlier and tried to do this on my own, but I can't explain it the way that they can. Like, I listened back to my episode like 3 times and I just went, no. So I wanted to bring my mom in on this, and I wanted to bring the video actually on this to actually explain it better, and then we can discuss, because there are a couple things that I noticed just in our Christian culture that I don't think we even realize we do, that we should be aware of. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think you should just specify that it's gotquestions.org.
Yes, gotquestions.org is the web browser, and the site is gotquestions.org. Your questions, biblical answers. So all credit to them, and I thank them for making these videos for us that we can find and listen to and help gain knowledge on these things. So without further ado, I don't want to take up any more time on that. Let me get the volume on my laptop going, and I will hit play.
What is true worship? We're going to answer that question. The Apostle Paul described true worship perfectly in Romans 12, 1-2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable, or well-pleasing and perfect. This passage contains all the elements of true worship. First, there is the motivation to worship, the mercies of God. God's mercies are everything He has given to us that we don't deserve. The knowledge and understanding of these incredible gifts motivate us to worship. Also in the passage is a description of the manner of our worship. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Presenting our bodies means giving to God all of ourselves, our hearts, minds, hands, thoughts, and attitudes. But how? Again, the passage is clear. By the renewing of your mind, we renew our minds daily by cleansing them of the world's wisdom and replacing it with true wisdom that comes from God. We worship Him with our renewed and cleansed minds, not with our emotions. Emotions are wonderful things, but unless they are shaped by a mind saturated in truth, they can be destructive, out-of-control forces. Where the mind goes, the will follows, and so do the emotions. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us we have the mind of Christ, not the emotions of Christ. There is only one way to renew our minds, and that is by the Word of God. It is the truth. To know, believe, to hold convictions about, and to love the truth will naturally result in true spiritual worship. It is conviction followed by affection in response to truth, not to any external stimuli, including music. Music, as such, has nothing to do with worship. Music can't produce worship, although it certainly can produce emotion. Music is not the origin of worship, but it can be the expression of it. True worship is God-centered worship. People tend to get caught up in where they should worship, what music they should sing, and how it looks to other people. Focusing on these things misses the point. Jesus tells us that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. This means we worship from the heart and the way God has designed. Worship can include praying, reading God's word, singing, taking communion, and serving others. It is not limited to one act, but is done properly when the heart and attitude of the person are in the right place. It's also important to know that worship is reserved only for God. We are not to worship saints, prophets, statues, angels, any false gods, or Mary, the mother of Jesus. We also should not be worshiping with the expectation of something in return. Worship is done for God because He deserves it and for His pleasure alone. True worship is felt inwardly and then is expressed through our actions. Worshiping out of obligation is displeasing to God and completely in vain. He can see through all the hypocrisy and He hates it. A related example is the story of Cain and Abel. They both brought gift offerings to the Lord, but God was only pleased with Abel's. Cain brought the gifts out of obligation. Abel, he brought out of faith and admiration for God. True worship is not confined to what we do in church or open praise, although these things are both good and we are told in the Bible to do them. True worship is the acknowledgement of God and all his power and glory in everything we do. The highest form of praise and worship is obedience to him and his word. To do this, we must know God. We cannot be ignorant of him. Worship is to glorify and exalt God, to show our loyalty and admiration to our Father. That answers the question, what is true worship? Research this question further on our website, gotquestions.org. Give a thumbs up and be sure to click subscribe. Meanwhile, check out these other questions.
Okay, so that is the description. And before we jump into any questions, we heard the mercies of God in there. And some of you might be wondering, well, what are they? And when I first was reading this, I actually did not know. I was like, what? And here's like a couple handfuls of them. God's mercies are everything he has given to us that we don't deserve. Eternal love, eternal grace, the Holy Spirit, everlasting peace, eternal joy, saving faith, comfort, strength, wisdom, hope, kindness, patience, glory, honor, security, righteousness, eternal life, forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, freedom, intercession, and there's more. Those are just a couple handfuls of the mercies that we really don't deserve because we are broken, sinful, evil, gross people.
And when you were reading that off, I did hear some of the fruit of the Spirit in there.
I did too.
Which, again, through God's mercy, we can receive those fruit because he's given us his Spirit and he allows us to grow in his Spirit.
Exactly. So my question is, before you and me learned that worship, did you ever believe that the worship we do at church, the music is the only form of like worship? Did you ever?
No, because I think that there's worship in so many, worship is in our life. I think that worship is an attitude and an acknowledgement of who God is. Mm-hmm. So when you and I go for walks and we talk about things about the Lord, I think that's worship.
I think that's worship too.
When you and I go for drives, mm-hmm. we get ice cream, we talk about the Lord, that's worship.
Yeah.
I think that when we're talking, like when I talk to one of my coworkers who's very dear to me, she's a Christian, and we talk about maybe a topic that has come up in our lives, and we talk about it from the Lord's point of view or how we're dealing with it in the Lord or how we're praying, I believe that's worship as well.
Yeah. And the video talked about how worship isn't just singing. It's a whole bunch of things. And I think in our culture, we don't see that. I actually did not, I don't want to use the word believe, but it was more of I didn't know that worship wasn't just singing at church until like a couple months ago when our pastor talked about it. Yeah. I had no idea.
Really?
No idea.
So, when you were listening to Christian music before, did you realize that was worship, maybe?
I knew that was worship.
If you were listening and your heart was turned a little?
For me, it was listening to Christian music or singing to Christian music like you do at church. That was worship. But that was the only worship.
What about when you study your Bible? You didn't realize that is worship?
No. That's more, for me, I thought of it more as seeking, which we learned in the video, is worship. See, yes. I didn't, but we don't realize that because I think, like, think about, oh, yeah, we did worship at church. We did worship at church. Yeah, we love worship at church. It's always the worship at church before the service. And there are churches that will literally shut down church if there is no music worship, if their equipment's malfunctioning or whatever. And I think that is so sad because that is not the only form of worship. Like, days at our church when we don't have our worship pastor because he's out of town or sick or equipment's malfunctioning, we'll do, what, 10 minutes of just prayer?
Yeah.
Silent prayer, talk to God, look in your Bible, and that's our worship. Or we'll have, as our pastor calls it, a family discussion, because that's all worship.
And I think that all of it is meant to point you towards Christ.
Yes.
Worship at church is done first, I believe, to quiet you down and to get your mind and your thoughts focused on God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't always work for everybody. I think we've become so used to that formula, mm-hmm. that that's all we do.
Exactly.
But I know for your dad, he's a huge music person.
But
he's not a huge
music worship person.
Exactly. Yeah. So that doesn't necessarily get him focused on Christ. The sermons do. He loves to learn.
Yeah.
And he loves to think. Mm-hmm. But that's, so the worship in the beginning is not what focuses him. I think he would do better to maybe open with a verse or a passage and ask to reflect on that.
Yes, I agree. He would do better.
In that sense. That to him is more worship.
Yeah. I mean, the video also talked about, let me find it in their show notes because I want to word this right. People tend to get caught up in where they should worship, what music they should sing and worship, and how their worship looks to other people. That is true, especially that last one. I have definitely caught myself thinking about that. Do I look good? Do I sound good? Do I look weird raising my hands up? I definitely have caught myself doing that.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, I just try to remember that this is between me and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to grow in my Christian faith, in my relationship with God. So I'm not going to be bothered by what other people think. I am not going to be put off or stop my expression by what other people think.
Yeah.
But that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes when the Holy Spirit is calling us to do something in worship, we really need to follow that calling.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes he's trying to take us to a deeper level with him,
mm-hmm.
but you gotta follow. It's like going down a staircase to the deeper level. You gotta follow your guide down the staircase.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit leads us, maybe it is to seek out different music, or maybe it is to try something new, or maybe it is to lift your hands in public. I don't know. But I think when the Holy Spirit moves us in that realm, we need mm-hmm. to respond.
Yeah. And we are not by any means saying that the singing at church is not worship, because it is. It's when you are so focused on how you look, or what song are we singing, or what are we going to do if there is no music, like, oh, we're going to shut down church. That is not worship. That mm-hmm. is just getting stuck almost inside yourself, in a sense.
In the formula of it, or it's like the person who stands, the Bible talks about the man who stands on the street corner praying very loudly and ripping his clothes for all to see. And then the man who prays quietly and says, I am a sinner. I just need you to forgive me. And the Bible says you got that the man who did the outward performance has already received his reward mm-hmm. because man saw him. I personally, and we're all guilty of it, but I think as you get deeper into your walk with Christ, I would hope that people would just think to themselves, I don't want that outward expression per se. I don't want to worry about it. I just want to be here with the Holy Spirit and the Lord. And I just want to give him that praise, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I used to, so this is something I don't think I've ever told anyone. When your grandparents were alive and my dad had a stroke and was completely disabled, and we would go there, and before you were born, and then when you were a small child, we would go work in the yard, right?
I remember that. Yeah, okay. I remember all that. Yeah. Those are memories I have from that time frame, which I don't have many, but those are some that I have, and our cat has decided to join the conversation mm-hmm. in the background.
Yep, there's our cat, Bieber.
Hi, Bubba.
Anyways, while I was working in the yard, my heart sometimes would get overwhelmed with just the enormity of how much work there was to do on this property, and how I didn't think we could do it, or we could do it all.
Because it was one big field and then a Christmas tree farm.
Yeah.
Big property.
Plus the house and everything. And so while we would work outside, I would hum songs to the Lord. I would hum prayers to him. And that was my form of worship. And I knew that it directed my thoughts off of me and onto the Lord, and how, mm-hmm. how great and big the Lord is. How he will save. He will help. And so that was my way of giving him worship.
Yeah. No, and that is, oh boy.
Here come the dogs as well.
Did they open the door again?
They must have. But hopefully they'll lay down here soon.
Our male German Shepherd is incredibly smart. Every door in the house he can now open, and he will let himself in, let himself out. He'll join you in the bathroom. Like, he is all over the place. Thank you. We're getting the door closed and resetting and everything. Yeah, no, but I agree. It's like, worship isn't just, like, I keep reiterating this, but I think it needs to be, because, like, I think that's what a lot of us think about. Worship is participating in communion. Worship is serving of others. Worship is spending time in your Bible. Worship is praying. Worship is singing.
Yes.
It's what worship is. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's done in that mindset and with the right heart and in the way God describes it.
Focusing you on Christ and who he really is, mm-hmm. you know.
And when you look at the definition of worship itself, there's a couple of them. So as a verb, it's to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. And as a noun, it's a reverence offered a divine being or supernatural power, a form of religious practice with its creed and ritual, an extravagant respect or admiration for or devotion to an object of esteem.
So let's look at that last one. Extravagant respect or admiration for or devotion
to an object of esteem.
So when you live your life just trying to do what's right for Christ, just trying to respond the right way, maybe to people around you, to interpret things through a godly lens, to think on those things, or to say, what would Christ have me do right now? That is all form of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are giving your devotion to him.
And you're devotion, honoring and showing respect to him by trying to follow him. Yes. That's worship. Honor and respect and showing devotion. That's worship. It's not just singing in church. It's all these other things, and that is true worship.
The Bible says he desires obedience over sacrifice. And so that's why, with the story of Cain and Abel, Abel's sacrifice was a pleasant offering to the Lord, while Cain's was just putrid to him.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you have your Bible? Is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see if I can find that story and read it just at least that
That's
part.
That's the very beginning. Yep.
Genesis. I have no idea.
So while you're looking that up, I mean,
Genesis 4?
One thing is that worship can elicit feelings in us, but it isn't always feeling. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Just as love is a decision and not a feeling. As my mother always used to say, you love someone, it's a decision and not a feeling. So our devotion and our honor and our respect to Christ is a decision, and it's not always a feeling.
No, it is a decision.
Yes.
So the story of Cain and Abel, I won't read, oh, it's not that long. So Genesis 4. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance, thank you, fallen? I have an NLT version Bible. She has a
New American
Standard. New American, very different translations. If you do well, you will not countenance, well, if, help. Do you want to take over?
Where did we leave off? I got to put my glasses on.
Verse 6. I'm sorry. I'm not good with words, guys.
Verse 6, huh?
Yeah.
Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and his desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel, his brother. And it came about, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And if we move forward just a little bit, I think that's about it.
So he gave, the story is, one gave an offering of the best, and the other just gave kind of a half-hearted offering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, with our worship, if we go into worship expecting a miracle and expecting praise because we worship so well and expecting miraculous signs or whatever it is, that is not pleasing to God at all, and that is completely selfish and sinful.
Yes.
Right back to the story of Cain and Abel in the very beginning in Genesis 4.
Yes. It says, when it talks about the fruit of the ground that Abel committed to the Lord, it was a bloodless offering that was perfectly appropriate.
It was appropriate, but it was bloodless. Yes. It's supposed to be, when you read all the offerings in later books,
mm-hmm.
yes, there is a grain offering, but there is no offering of just fruits or whatever. It's either a grain offering moistened with flour and olive oil without yeast, or it's the body, blood, and fat of an animal.
So they weren't slaughtering an animal right there, looks like.
Mm-mm. His brother did.
His brother did, but it also goes on to say it was Cain's attitude of unbelief that displeased God.
Yeah.
So, man, that's a pretty big deal. He's not looking, I mean, he is looking at the offering in the sense that he's looking at what's coming from your heart.
Yeah.
In that process.
Not the offering, it's the heart.
Yeah.
And it's the worship that goes with it.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that what it's always about?
Yeah, it is.
You know? The Bible said when the Lord was picking David as king, he says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It always comes back to that.
It always comes back to the heart.
And so he knows if you are trying to do something godly, that is a form of worship. That he sees worship. The heart.
Yeah. So that's what I have. So it's just, worship is not just singing at church. Worship can be anything when done with a heart full of love, honor, respect, and reverence towards God.
Yes.
That is worship. Worship is not confined to the one 15-minute singing session before your service on Sunday. Worship can be anything.
It can.
So.
And it can be anywhere.
Yes, it can. It can be anywhere. I worship a lot in my car and my shower. I will admit those. Car and shower.
I actually, if we're going to talk about singing just by singing, itself... I do a lot of it when I wake up at 2-3 a.m. I do a lot of it in the morning in the shower. Yeah. And I'm just singing and praying during those times.
Yeah.
And I do believe that that is a form of worship mm-hmm. to the Lord. Even without the singing, just praying and even just bringing people or issues or...
You're honoring God by doing that because you're acknowledging Him.
Yes, and His... sovereignty. Yeah. And when I bring them before the Lord, I do believe that's worship.
Yeah. And the definition of worship says honor. Yes. So that's true worship. So I just wanted to put this out there because I think in our culture, in our Christian culture, kind of have forgotten that it can be a lot of things besides the singing at church mm-hmm. and that it is a huge heart thing as well.
Yes, it is.
So... again, that's what I have. Do you have anything else?
I do not.
All right. I'm going to close this out in prayer before all the planes come back.
Sounds good.
Lord, we just come before you this evening, Lord, and we just pray that you would just help us to remember what true worship is, Lord, and to not get wrapped up in how do we look when we're worshiping? What am I going to get because I'm worshiping? And all the other thoughts and ideas that can flood our minds, Lord. Lord, help us to worship you everywhere, every day in anything that we do, Lord, and to just respect and honor you. And even though we will fall and fail, I pray that your forgiveness will just flow, Lord, and that you will have grace and mercy on us. And Lord, it's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
That is it, guys, and we'll see you next time.